All right. I've just downed the last of my coffee.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Lovely. That was your power sound, was it, Will?
It was. I was just revving up the
really
engine.
Really incredible. And now look at you, fully revved.
I'm back.
My name's Will.
And my name's Steve.
You haven't got time to read War and Peace.
Even if it is one of the greatest novels of all time.
587,000 words.
612 grams.
That's the weight of the book.
500 characters.
361 chapters.
3 volumes.
2 epilogues.
And a collection of maps. We're going to summarise all of it for you.
This is War and Peace
in just 7 years.
Hello and welcome to this week's War and Peace in just 7 years with a fully revved Will.
Rum, rum.
Okay, it's a bit strange now. You can stop doing that. But yeah, hello.
Hello and welcome to episode, just tip them up, 55.
A prime number.
It's not.
Will, last week you had a very, very exciting email from Hugo and his mum.
We did, on the run in Australia.
I haven't heard from them since, so maybe they've been apprehended.
Fingers crossed they haven't, and they're still going strong.
We're really rooting for you, Hugo and Hugo's mum.
We are.
And this week, it gets better and better.
Oh, it gets better and better, because we've received an incredible Instagram DM from Liv. Liv is back with a picture of her interpretation of a powder monkey, and it's honestly unbelievably good.
It's nightmare fuel, it is.
It's nightmare fuel.
It's wonderful.
Of the purest variety. The eyes are shining, the wig.
And it's a monkey, that's what we should have said that. It's a monkey wearing a wig.
Oh yeah, it's a monkey.
Powder. You've got to go and have a look at it. We're going to be putting it, obviously, in our Hall of Fame on our website, weapon7.com. And I think it is a close competitor for the scariest picture in the gallery.
I think so.
It's a close competitor with Ace Doing Arts drawing a Vera's spidery mouth, which is also absolutely terrifying.
It's so good. Liv, you are an absolute legend. Well done. That's really cheered us up and tickled us and terrified us to our very core.
If you want to send something, we absolutely love it getting drawings. It's one of the most favouritest, bestest things that can happen.
Really is for us. We love it so much.
So just, you don't have to be good at drawing. Just do it. Just go for it. Either email it to us, tolstoy@weapon7.com, or like Liv did, just put it on our Instagram, @weapon7podcast.
Or just leave it floating in the depths of hell and let it slowly rise up to us.
Either one of them. It's your call.
Steve, what happened last week, my good friend?
Oh, it's a good question. Last week, you were hanging out with Nikki.
We were.
And he was really itching to fight, but he didn't get selected to fight.
He's on the bench.
But he did get to see the Emperor several times.
Oh, which was that Emperor, Steve. Oh.
Yeah, he's a really great guy.
Wow.
It was a fantastic day. He got a new horse. He got Darren 3.
Amazing.
I mean, really, though, what it comes down to is just that the Emperor possibly is just the best thing since...
anything.
Since readily available...
matter.
Matter. Yes, the Emperor really is the best thing since matter. Since the Big Bang. And they're going to need that love of the Emperor because, Will, there's a big battle coming, possibly at some point.
Oh, it's on, probably.
Okay. Yeah, probably, possibly.
It makes a lot of sense. And really, there is just one thing left to say.
Onwards. The reading.
If he could attack us, he would have done so today.
So I haven't got anything to talk about today. So I'm obviously...
This does feel like this endless competition of who can really, really, really drive this segment into the ground.
No, it's not a problem.
Is it not? When I'm in
that situation, I just type in the Smurfs into Google and see what comes up.
All right, mate, you bing that over to me.
Oh, you know what? I think we should probably talk about Vanity Smurf today, given how fantastic the Emperor is. We can see how he stacks up to Vanity Smurf.
Yeah, you've saved this bit. Well done. If before that you are not 10 times wounded, killed, or betrayed, well, what then?
Vanity Smurf is the epitome of a narcissist.
Is he?
This is... what would be the epitome of a narcissist in your mind, Will?
The epitome?
Yeah.
Just a little blue fella with a mirror.
Yeah.
He's obviously got a mirror, right?
He's got a flower in the right side of his hat,
right,
which is white.
Very narcissistic.
Or pink or yellow. And he holds a mirror often.
Of course he does.
Yep. And he looks at his own reflection.
Yep.
Oh, and he really takes it to a new level here. We've got to watch out for this from the Emperor.
Okay.
He kisses his own reflection often.
Oh, wowzers. The epitome of a narcissist.
In movie 2, Vanity becomes Commando Smurf. That's quite the...
Oh, wow.
That's quite the shock.
That's a bit of a shock. Tomorrow, our squadron is to be in reserve.
This is really good. We're really getting an insight now into the Emperor's psyche, how he thinks, how he feels, how he impresses people so much. Actually, let's look at that. How does he impress people so much?
The enemy has quenched his fires and a continual noise is heard from his camp.
All right, here's how to impress people, according to wikihow.com.
Speed up, mate.
Live loud and proud.
Yep, next
one. Don't be ashamed who you are. Take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest.
Yeah.
Be positive. These are great
all
things.
Right.
Respect everyone. Yep. I agree with this. Be humble.
Yep.
Do things.
Yeah.
Be great at what you do.
Yep.
Work hard.
Yep.
Help others frequently and sincerely.
Okay.
Correctly show off your traits.
Absolutely.
Stand by your belief. This list goes on forever.
it's all good. It's a great list.
Look for problems.
Steve.
Dress to impress.
Steve. He has 40,000 men at most, and on that note, I couldn't agree more. Stop.
Okay. Will, you've just read chapter, or certainly around chapter 55.
I have, yeah.
What happened?
It's good. Good lead-in.
It's fine. It's good.
I think it's fine, Steve. It's fine. I don't know what we'd get from you doing that again.
Okay, I could say it differently, but whatever. Fine. No, go with it.
Steve, please check your watch.
Oh?
What time is it? What time is it?
10:45.
Huh?
10:45.
No.
Okay.
Check again. It's just
15,
after
2:39:19.
Just after
7 p.m.
Thank you. It's just after 9.
Okay.
Did you get the memo?
Yes, I got it.
The super important war memo.
I read it all.
You on your way?
Yeah. Okay, I'll be there. By 10.
Where are you on your way to then?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Vishal?
The super important war council
meeting.
Yeah.
Which I'm coming to.
Yeah.
Which I'm coming to. I'm leaving now. It's 9. I'll be there.
You're leaving now?
Just after 9. I'll be there sometime after 9.
Excellent. Well done.
I'm coming.
You dealt with that very well, Steve. In that back and forth, Steve was not himself. He was, of course, Way Rother, who is on his way to the war council.
I felt a bit strange. I didn't feel myself there.
It wasn't you, was it?
It wasn't me.
You were living someone else's life.
I'm normally so on time.
Steve, who is Way Rother? Do we know this guy?
It doesn't ring any bells. So if he has been in the chapters before, he's not made an impression, and that's his fault.
That really is Way Rother's fault. Essentially, he's one of Alex's, pals, aides kind of thing, right? And boy, has he been a busy little bee. He's been running to the front lines to check on everything. He's been to see both of the emperors, not once, but twice.
Wow.
Yeah. Just so he can prepare himself to deliver essentially a little war speech to the war council.
Incredible stuff. Okay.
We're in Austerlitz. Kutuzov has set himself up in a castle. I think that's just one of the... And a pros of just being at war, you just nick stuff.
I think you can just requisition anything you like.
That's
my
castle now.
Bilibin was in that cool house.
Yeah.
And then there was the
Wonka's
castle.
Wonka's old house.
With the nuns.
Yeah.
And then obviously Willy Wonka, they took his chocolate factory. And
they did, and they turned it into a barracks.
It's very Elon Musk, isn't he, Willy Wonka?
Yeah. Absolute chocolate genius. We're with Kutuzov then, Steve. And just a quick check-in with Kutuzov. How many eyes does he have?
I think I'm confident in saying it's two or fewer.
Yeah, go with one. What would you like?
Okay, one. He's only got one eye.
Yeah, well done. He's got one eye, and boy, is he tired.
Boy, is he using it.
Boy, does he work it. No, he's got one eye. He's really knackered. But look, we're in the castle. We're ready for the war council. The tea is brewed. The room is set. It's time for the meeting. Everyone is there. Kutuzov, Way Rother, loads of other people we've never heard of. But someone is missing, Steve. Who?
The Emperor.
The Emperor's not there, but he doesn't have to be there.
Because he's ill?
No, he just doesn't have to be there.
Okay, all right. Bilibin?
It was a bad game.
I'll keep guessing. One of the Rostov family.
They're not there, but they're not invited.
Nasty Nick.
Not invited.
One of the horses. Dennis, 1, 2, or 3.
Not single horses invited.
Okay. that guy who had the pies about last year.
No, not invited. Okay. Vanity Smurf.
Not invited. All right, I give up then. Fine.
Bag ration.
Oh, I could have got that.
Old Baggin. He's not there. And I can't really work out why. So I think it's because he simply can't be asked.
He's late.
So he sent someone instead to stand in for him. He's sad. He's broody. He's desperate to be a hero. He hates his wife. He hates his life. It's none other than...
Andy Pandrew. Pandrew Andrew. Andy Pandy. Everyone's favourite.
Andrus Pandrus. Quote, Kutuzov, with his uniform unbuttoned so that his fat neck bulged over his collar as if escaping, was sitting almost asleep in a low chair with his podgy old hands resting symmetrically on its arm.
He sounds like he's been having an interesting war.
He does. I'm not surprised he's tired. Steve, have you ever dozed off during a war council?
I can confidently say I've never dozed off during a war council, William.
And you're proud of that record.
I'm proud of my record.
Well, look, Kutuzov is snoring his head off. And the war meeting's not even started.
How could Russia fail?
It's just ridiculous. And I quote, he really was asleep. Weyrother starts to read out the dispositions. Now, Steve, please follow along and try not to fall asleep yourself. I will be questioning you on this. It doesn't help, by the way, that everyone in this room is very tired and Weyrother is very monotonous.
Can I just say something?
Of course.
The Emperor, he was tired.
He was, wasn't he?
And the doctor came, Dr. Lorraine, did a consult remotely, a virtual consult. And now everyone else is tired. Could there be a sleepy disease spreading throughout the ranks of the Russian army, an evil plot by the French to make everyone sleepy? Maybe
sleepy-itis.
It could be sleepy-itis.
Yeah.
He could have slipped antihistamines into their... Vodka
and sausages.
Sausages, yeah.
God, you should be a detective, Steve.
Maybe I will be a detective.
It could also be that it's really late.
Yeah, or they've been up all night drinking.
Well, it's just after 9, so it's not that late.
Okay, yeah.
Here we go, mate. Try not to fall asleep. And do listen. This is very important. This is the most information you'll ever get about the war.
Okay, I'm listening.
About the battle tomorrow.
Okay.
As the enemy's left wing rests on wooded hills and his right extends along Kobylnitz and Sokolnitz behind the ponds that are there, while we, on the other hand, with our left wing, by far outflank his right, it is advantageous to attack the enemy's latter wing, especially if we occupy the villages of Solkhanitz.
I'm going home.
Whereby we can cancel the wall on his flank and pursue him over the plain.
Oh my God.
Schlattelnitz. No,
stop.
The defiles of Schlappnitz and Belowitz.
You're making up words now.
I can't read any more of this. It ends so well. The first column marches, the second column marches, the third column marches.
Oh, wow.
Wowie. Do you have any questions about that, Steve?
I heard something about a pond.
Oh, yeah, I said the word pond, didn't I?
I'm wondering if there's any ducks in the pond.
Look, there's a pond.
Put a pin in that, we'll see what happens with the pond.
Yeah, but other than that, you're set to go, probably.
What I took from that is that there's going to be a lot of army there. They're going to march. They're going to go and attack.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. You were paying attention. Yeah, basically it's that. There's a lot of places mentioned there, but really, we're just going to attack.
Yeah.
There's a count listening to this. He's called Count Langeron. And he's bored out of his mind, and he's twiddling a gold snuff box.
Ooh.
And apparently there's a portrait on it, Steve, but of who, we'll never know. Oh. Unless, of course, you know.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
It's a gold snuff box.
Mm-hmm. It's being twiddled.
Could be his family or his favourite pet, or some sort of a frog or
could
a snake or something.
Two frogs and a snake or something really important to him.
It could be his family crest, you know, like dog, a shrew and a
packet crest.
Box of buttons.
It could be. Honestly, with that, we will never know.
We'll never know, right.
Kutuzov opens his eye, has a look around, realises Weyrother is still talking and simply goes back to sleep. the Count with the box, the gold snuff box, yeah, with all the frogs on it.
Yeah.
He makes a fairly astute remark. But what if Napoleon attacks rather than simply waits to be attacked?
Why would he do that? Shut right. up, silly man. We've got the plan. You heard the plan. We're going to a pond. And then he's going to... Look.
I've already said it.
Go back to sleep.
Way rather puts that to bed. Either he is retreating, which is the only thing we need fear, or he is changing his position. But even if he also took up a position in the Theravasa, he merely saves us a great deal of trouble, and all our arrangements, to the minutest detail, remain the same.
I think you really missed a calling as some sort of cleric, religious icon or yeah, something like that.
Maybe. Boring people to death on a Sunday.
You should start a religion, mate.
I really should. But Steve, surely there's someone in this room, this war council-y room, uh-huh, who's got a backbone, a hero, you could say.
Yes.
Someone brave and ready to ask a question.
We've seen him do it before.
Yes.
He's not afraid to tell the man what he thinks.
Who is it, Steve?
It's Andy, mic drop, Pandy.
It's Andy, mic drop, Pandy. You are absolutely right. You're so right, Steve, that I've made us a little script.
Oh.
So this is Andy's moment to shine. He's about to stand up and ask his brilliant question, Andy, mic drop, Pandy. And I'll be playing Kutuzov. Steve, over to you.
How is it that...
Gentlemen, the dispositions for tomorrow, or rather for today, for it's past midnight, cannot now be altered. You have heard them, and we shall all do our duty. But before a battle, there is nothing more important than to have a good sleep.
Excuse me.
Mic not
okay.
Dropped.
Put the mic back in the case.
Great performance, Steve. I was a little bit cruel there. Andy just gets cut off.
I was hoping to have more lines, more role. But I mean, I did get the feeling of what it would have been like to be Andy
sad,
in that situation.
Frustrated.
I wanted to say stuff.
He wanted to say stuff. Kutuzov's tired. It's time for him to go to bed. But someone cannot sleep. It's Andy P. Tell us about Andy briefly, Steve. What does he want? What's driving this man, our hero Andy?
More than anything, he wants to be seen as the greatest war hero.
Yeah.
Russia, possibly the entire world, has ever produced. That's all ever. He wants.
That's all he wants.
Is it too much to ask?
Is it? He's thinking about that, and he's also thinking that tomorrow, probably more than likely, he's going to die.
Okay, sure. Okay. And it's because of the battle.
Yes, because of the battle, the poorly planned battle.
Not from lack of sleep or something.
No, he just thinks, he really does think I'm probably dying.
Right, okay.
Tomorrow.
That's got to be a...
It's a tough one.
Tough. I wouldn't sleep either, probably.
No, it's fair enough. He remembers leaving his father and pregnant wife.
Oh, right, he's remembered that, has he?
He remembers loving his wife at one point.
Must have been a long time ago, because we haven't seen evidence of that particularly.
He needs a walk. Close your eyes, Steve. It's dark.
Oh.
Probably cold. November, I think. 1805, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, foggy.
Lovely.
It's really foggy.
Bit scary.
Yeah. The moonlight is gleaming mysteriously.
Oh.
And Andy is wandering around, imagining his death.
Ooh. What does it smell like?
Oh, it smells like old fog.
Okay.
It's time for a daydream, Steve. So you can open your eyes, even though we're going to be dreaming again.
Okay.
Enough of all the family stuff, Steve. That's boring now.
Yep.
So Andy is imagining tomorrow that there will be a moment, a glorious moment for Andy, when a large light bulb will appear above his head and an idea will form in his brain.
Okay.
A sick idea. And he'll run over to Kutuzov.
Yeah.
And Kutuzov will be there, or the emperor, or anyone, and go, I love that
idea.
You're amazing.
You're promoted. You're the best.
And then everyone will be too scared to do his idea.
Oh.
Because they're cowards.
Oh.
So he'll do the idea.
On his own.
And he'll do it, and he'll win the battle by himself.
And they'll say, no, don't do it on your own. It's too dangerous.
You won't succeed.
You won't succeed. It's too dangerous to do it.
No one's brave enough.
No.
He's such a narcissist.
Anyway.
He's unbelievable, this man.
He's there. He's walking around in the fog. He's got his mirror in his hand. He's looking at it. He's kissing it.
Oh my God, it's absolutely ridiculous. That's punctuated suddenly with him going, oh yeah, but I could actually die.
Okay, yeah.
But it doesn't matter, Steve, because he'll be so brave that based on his brave actions tomorrow, Kutuzov will just be fired on the spot and replaced with Andy.
Right.
And Andy is in charge.
This is a classic daydream, isn't it?
He's such a narcissist, this man. It's unbelievable. I'm not going to read all of this, but this speech that Andy delivers in his head is really next level narcissism. Even Vanity Smurf would be embarrassed
When Vanity Smurf's embarrassed, you know you've done something wrong.
You've gone too far. So in the background for this, Steve, maybe some like inspirational music, maybe a trumpet. I'm not sure. You're very limited.
I haven't got any instruments, sure.
you just kind of roll with it.
Okay.
If I want this, want glory, want to be known to men, want to be loved by them, it is not my fault that I want it and want nothing but that and live only for that. Death, wounds, the loss of family, I fear nothing, and precious and dear as many persons are to me, father, sister, wife, those dearest to me, yet dreadful and unnatural as it seems, I would give them all for a moment of glory, of triumph over men. Absolutely brilliant. We're only doing one take of that.
Very hard to do that when you don't know how long the thing's going to be, where to put the climax.
Oh my God, that's funny. That has to go in uncut. Dear. So apologies if that's really tough to listen to.
Oh, we'll turn my mic down a bit.
But Steve, the most disgusting thing there is he would give his dad, his son, his wife in a heartbeat for glory.
I didn't hear a single word of it to us because I was focusing on being a trumpet. But
that's the tough thing when you're a trumpet.
Yeah.
Basically, Andy will do anything for glory. His family, friends, they actually mean nothing to him. And he would sacrifice them in a heartbeat to succeed.
He's a great guy. Brilliant. top 10 guys.
He's a tough Wicked. He's a tough character, Andy. It's hard to like him.
Be yourself.
Be yourself.
Do what you love. Do your job well.
Oh, thankfully, we're going to pause Andy. We're going to leave him just wandering around in the fog with trumpets playing in his head.
Kissing the mirror, winning, saving the world.
It's just enough of Andy. Yep. Let's go to someone else, Nick. It's dark. It's evening. It's foggy.
Okay.
We're with a platoon on skirmishing duty.
Ooh, does that mean like looking, having a look around?
I hope so.
Yeah.
We're tired. We are Nikki Rostov.
Everyone has got sleepy-itis, and I'm scared of it.
You called it. Also, though, just to, you know, play devil's advocate, it could just be late.
It could be late, or it could be a serious case of
sleepy-itis.
Army-wide sleepy-itis.
God, this fog, Steve?
Yeah.
Can't see a thing.
Can't see your hand in front of your hand. You can't see your hands.
You can't even see your own hands. Hang on, what's that in the fog? It's grey?
Oh.
No.
Like a brutalist building.
It's black?
No.
Yes? No.
Oil. We've struck oil.
No, hang on. Lights. Are they lights?
Boat?
No.
A boat?
No. This fog, eh? Just as I'm sure you do when you're in the fog, Steve, you start to see your family. Your friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your heroes.
I might do if I was at war, to be fair to them. To be fair, if I've not, you know, seen them for a long time, that might be possible.
This won't be a tough one for you, Steve. Who's Nick seeing in the fog?
Sonia?
Not Sonia. He does see a girl, but before that, there's someone else he sees to begin with.
Okay. I know who he sees in the fog.
Yep.
It's at least one emperor, possibly 100 versions of the glorious Russian emperor.
Yeah, he sees the emperor, he does. Yeah. But then he sees some of his mates as well. He sees Denisov.
Okay.
Memories of Moscow.
Yep.
He likes the emperor, doesn't he?
He's a super fan.
He's a super fan. Yeah. This is what's going on in Nick's head. Why not? It might easily happen that the emperor will meet me and give me an order as he would to any other officer. And he'll say, go and find out what's there.
Yeah, that would be great.
He's not scared of the war.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
I mean, what I like about Nikki's daydream is... compared to Andy Pandy's, it's a lot more realistic.
It's a lot more realistic. It's a lot more believable. It's a lot nicer.
Yeah, it's a lot nicer. Yeah. Honestly, tomorrow, the emperor could come up to him and say, would you mind going and having a look over there,
just
mate?
Say, for example, over there.
Like, there's that bush. Is that... it's moving funny. Could you check it out?
I'll do it, and I'd die happily doing it, sir.
This is the best day of my life. I will look in that bush, so help me, God.
Rostov imagines killing a German in front of the emperor, right?
Okay.
But I know you're thinking, Steve, that's not enough. just to kill a German in front of Emperor Alex.
Why a German?
Yeah, well, because the Germans are some of the bad guys, apparently.
Okay.
But we'd need to go further than just killing the German. We'd need to slap the German first.
Yes, we would. I was about to say that. What about the slap?
You just need to give the naughty German a slap.
We're getting insights into Russian society here.
Yep.
The worst thing that can happen, worse than death itself,
is to be
slapped. It's
in front of an emperor.
Well, in front of anyone, but yeah, certainly in front of an emperor. That's got to be bad.
Ooh, we can all agree to that suddenly. And that's a direct quote, by the way, Steve. Here's the proof. Suddenly, a distant shout aroused him. Where am I? Where are we? Where are we?
We're in the fog. Near Vishal.
Yeah, we're in Olmutz.
Okay.
We're skirmishing.
I just have to say quickly, I pronounced Vishal wrong last week. It's actually Vishal, I'm told.
Well, apology.
Just a quick correction in there. Carry on with your story, Will.
That's very cowardly to do it. Drop it into the episode.
Carry on anyway. See you later.
We're tired, remember, Steve? Well, Nick is anyway.
Yep,
he's very sleepy. He keeps falling asleep.
Yep.
Nick's still annoyed that he's been put on the bench for tomorrow's battle. He has to get to the front, Steve. It's the only way.
Right.
It's the only way to see Alex, and then he'll be able to slap a German in front of him.
Just to go through it again.
Okay.
He hears a shout.
Mm-hmm. Wakes up.
He wakes up, bolt upright.
Yep.
It's time to go, he thinks. It's time to get to the front.
It's like, are we there? But he realizes it's still foggy. Yeah, it's still night time. This is very weird, this bit. I was thinking of not including it, Steve, but I think you'd love it too much for me not to. This is his sleepy brain. I expect it's just snow. He's looking at something ahead.
Okay.
He sees something. That spot. A spot und Tash? What? There now. It's not a Tash.
Moustache.
Natasha. Sister. What? Black eyes.
What? I'm actually really scared. The way you're doing this, the way you're moving your head, it's like Pan's Labyrinth. It's really scary.
It's so funny. He does the Tash thing with moustache later on as well.
I'm half expecting your head to just revolve 360 degrees. So he's basically, he's still asleep. He's sleepy. Someone bring him a coffee.
He's having some very silly dreams. Suddenly, he hears, now this is real, he hears the shouts of, and I quote here, thousands of voices.
It can't be that the French army are attacking early, can it? That's not the plan.
That couldn't happen.
They've thought everything through.
But they've planned it so well.
Not to the Russians.
Rostov asks a hussar. The hussar says, huh? Nah, it's probably fine.
It's just
I really, really, really like that guy, by the way. I'd have been him. Right. What? Nah, it's fine.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Go back to sleep, mate.
It doesn't matter. It's fine.
Yeah.
The shouting grows louder. The sound of horses' hooves approaching at a trot along the line of hussars was heard. And out of the foggy darkness, the figure of a sergeant of hussars suddenly appeared, looming huge as an elephant.
Wow.
Be careful there. Not an actual elephant, Steve.
No, because some armies did use elephants.
They did, yeah.
Probably not in that era, but...
probably not in the Russian.
Not a lot of elephants in Russia, as far as I know. But.
It's Prince Bagration and Prince Dolgurikov.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's not the French.
No, it's not the French. Oh. We're okay. Whew. One of whom is on a white horse. Don't know who.
Okay.
What do you think the noises were, by the way? Those shouts of thousands of men.
I know.
Yeah.
They weren't listening properly in the meeting, and so 5 or 10 men fell in the pond.
Oh, and they're like, guess I'll pond.
No, my breeches are damp.
Darn it. Well, Nick tells Dolgurikov and Bagration that he's hearing like very loud screams in the night.
Oh, my pants are wet.
And Dolgurikov thinks it's simply a trick.
Right.
So he thinks the cheeky little French are pretending to have not retreated. You know, they put like CD players around with their voices on.
Got it. Very Home Alone. And then they've got the cutouts of the French army, loads of Smurfs.
Yeah, put them in some uniforms.
LP things. Oh, that makes
spinning on record players.
I can see it, yeah.
Yeah. Rostov doesn't buy that and says, look, shall I just go and check? He takes two hussars and they ride off into the dark mist. Oh, it's misty. Is that a man? Nope.
No.
It's a tree. Is that a man?
No.
No,
it's a tree.
It's another tree. They come across a road. Let's ride on the road.
Is it a road?
No, it's a tree.
It's a tree.
A bullet.
No.
They're being shot at. And another.
What?
Crikey, it's musket fire.
Oh, no.
Shooting at Nick and the hussars.
Jeezy wheezy.
Jeezy wheezy. They turn back. We're almost done. They turn back and gallop back. And Nick is bloody loving it.
Of course
he's
he is.
Smiling away. Bullets flying past his head. He couldn't be happier. So he rides back to Prince Baggy and tells him.
Yeah.
Baggy thanks Rostov.
Doesn't believe him, obviously.
He thanks him and just says, oh, just leave it till tomorrow.
Just gaslights him.
We're tired, man.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Are you sure? Were you shot at?
Yeah. Did the trees really shoot you?
Yeah,
let's go to bed.
Come on.
But just as Nick's about to leave, he goes, may I ask to be attached to the first squadron?
Okay.
Will he start the match tomorrow? Baggy nods.
Oh.
He's in, mate.
What an honour.
Nick is in.
Well done, Nick. He took his opportunities there.
He did.
We can all learn something from that.
He worked with what? His surroundings, yeah. With the monstrous shooting trees. Yeah, he really played that to his advantage. Hang on, Steve, what's this?
Maybe a very big fish.
It's a letter.
Oh, I'll put on
it's
your.
It's a letter. Who's it from, Mr.
John
Napoleon. It's a letter from Napoleon.
Mr. John Napoleon.
John Napoleon. And who's it to, Steve? Well, it's to his troops. Now, I'm not going to read it, but I will summarize it.
Good. That's what we tend to do.
that's what we do here. Quick summary of a letter from Napoleon to his troops before the battle tomorrow. Oh, it's on.
It's the summary.
The best laid plans, oh mice and men, gang after glay.
Sorry, I was just checking that I was still recording and you were just... I'm actually fine not getting involved.
I'm just...
I'm quite lucky, really, in a way. Very rude of me, though. I do apologise. Steve, we're going to need a title from you and some summarising from you.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're aware of that.
I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, good.
I knew this was going to happen.
In 3, 2... 1.
Oh boy, it really is on now. The Grand War Council's very boring. Everyone's sleepy. The plan's perfect. We cannot lose. Andy's going to be a hero. Nicky's going to be a hero. But there's fog. What's in the fog?
Fog. Steve, what was it called?
It was called, oh boy, it really is on now.
I see what you've done there, because when we said it was on last time, wasn't on.
No. Well, but thanks, Tolstoy. You've made us look like fools.
You've done it again. Damn it. Boy, it's on now, though.
We're in the fog. We're in the fogs of war.
Oh, the fogs of war.
The fog of war.
There's fog everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's Andy Pandy, and he's like, God, I'd love to... I don't actually know what he wants, that mad.
He wants glory, but...
Glory.
The minds of the leaders are foggy.
Yes.
There's actual fog.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get the idea.
It's dark as well.
It's night. It's actually the worst combination of all things.
I think we've really, really had a good chat about war tactics there.
Yep.
I'm running out of energy.
I'm tired, Will. I'm tired.
I'm tired.
I've enjoyed doing this with you, Will, but I'm so tired.
I'm tired, mate.
I have to say goodbye.
It's fair.
Goodbye.
I'm going to have to say the same
thing. Goodbye. Thank you for listening.
Cheers.
Everyone, see ya.
Bye.
It is, Will. It is a very special time.
It is.
This month now, it's the time to say thank you to our wonderful Patreons.
Thank you.
So thank you to Ali. Thank you to Hannah, Alistair, Christine and Melissa, and of course thank you to all the other powder monkeys out there. We do appreciate you.
So powdery, so monkey-y.
So monkey-y. Do have a look at that wonderful picture, which you can really take
relate
to heart. You can relate to as the powder monkeys. But yeah, thank you to the higher tier patrons. Thank you to the powder monkeys. You're all making a massive, massive difference to this podcast. And so thank you so much. We really, really appreciate it. Do you appreciate it, Will?
I love them. I think they're all fantastic. If you'd like to support the show, please, please do get yourself over to patreon.com/wapin7. Have a little look. There's something for everyone there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much in advance. Have a lovely week. See you later.
See you next week.